You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we look to you to deal with us according to your grace and your mercy. Thank you very, very much. Spirit of God, honor our Lord. Help us. In Christ's name, amen. In our Lord's dealing with his disciples and people, in Matthew chapter 11, he reminds them they need to have a unique relationship to who he is. And in chapter 11 of Matthew, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." God is able to put to rest all of that which causes anxiety, etc. "And take my yoke upon you." In other words, you aren't just going to be do nothing. On the other hand, you're going to get involved, very much so. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." And the little word, verb learn, is to bring into one's experience, to take something outside and bring it inside, something that you become a participant of, part of. You experience something. Learn of me. Learn. The source of this learning is our Lord Jesus Christ. And his whole wonderful purpose is to bring us to God, to help us understand God's wonderful person. Therefore, verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls," the kind of rest that God alone can give. And the yoke, by the way, verse 30, is easy. "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." I want you to know it's a wonderful, wonderful relationship, and the yoke is the yoke's a heavy yoke, but it's easy. And the heavy yoke is also wonderfully light, even though it's heavy. It involves God's wonderful program, pursuit, purpose. It involves God. And yet it's wonderfully light in the person of Jesus Christ. He makes it easy for us to carry. Now, with that in mind, over, if you would please, to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John in chapter 8. And in our study of the Gospel of John, you're going to recall, it's all about us, for humans, to understand that all of secular history, sacred history, involves God. He's the creator of it all. And we're to understand that God made himself wonderfully, wonderfully knowable in the person of Jesus Christ. And all 21 chapters of John are about that relationship, to know him. Now, so when he's doing that, all the way through John, as we've studied, to chapter 11. All the way through, he made it clear over and over again, you need to believe 99 times in the Gospel of John, it is used. You need to believe, and you need to understand when you believe, you're going to have the wonderful benefits, and you're going to understand that I am. You need to know God, who he is, as he is, not as you'd like him, not as you feel about him, not as the propaganda is put out there. You need to know him as he actually is, and that is the great need of the human heart. Now, so now, as he goes through, he bangs home this wonderful truth. Chapter 8, remember, I'm just picking up a spot or two to get you to get the flavor of it. Chapter 8, in verse 58, he says, after all of the arguments, etc., Abraham said unto them, Jesus said unto them, about Abraham, Jesus said unto them, verse 58, verily, verily, most assuredly, amen, amen, I say unto you, before Abraham was in existence, I am. I am the creator of Abraham. Now, he said it over and over again. We've done it how many times as we've studied each verse, each word? Verse 59, their response, then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So each time, he's going to tell them who he is. They need to understand who he is and exercise a wonderful relationship. But they don't want to know who he is. Over to chapter 10. Chapter 10. And again, remember, as we shared, as he's dealing with the people back and forth, verse 30, chapter 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one. Then, we're one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. We're just one in essence, nature, being. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Sliding down, if I can, to verse 39. After all of it, therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. Don't you guys understand? He's trying to help you understand who he is, but they don't want to understand who he is. They don't want to understand the wonderful person of God, which makes them understand their person. And understanding their person means they've got to understand they need to get right in the righteousness that God provides. Apart from that, there isn't any. So John chapter 11, again, he sets up this last wonderful miracle before he's on his way to the cross. 3 years plus have gone by. He's on his way, ultimately, in the next three months or so, he's going to the cross. So now, John chapter 11, and remember, Lazarus has died. Martha, and he's come to the home of Martha and Mary in Bethany. The funeral has taken place. They're in the 7 days of mourning for that. Now, having said that, and thus Martha said, verse 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And then the conversation continued as we read. Martha showed her little bit of understanding about resurrection, what the general flavor of people talked about, God, heaven, hell, right, wrong. And she had that flavor. And she said in verse 24, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And she knows what she doesn't know. And then God said in the most awesome, clear, direct statement, he's standing in front of her. Jesus, verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am, personally, I am the resurrection, a person. I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now, Martha, do you believe this? Do you believe this, that I am the resurrection life, and that when you believe, you will never die? You're going to have wonderful, wonderful life. And remember in verse 25, you're going to read the word, he that believeth on me, though he were, you have the word life, and you come to the end of verse 25, he shall live, You go to verse 26, whosoever liveth. It's all about living. There's no sense in talking about resurrection if you don't have life. You got to have life. And life makes possible the resurrection. What's resurrection? It's the newness of the new body, etc., 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 for the believing heart. So now, here we are, and they are now, the whole thing is, I've told you who I am. Now, here's Martha trying to use her little bit of knowledge, which isn't sufficient. And he says in verse 26, believest thou this? Do you believe that if you believe in me, believe me, you will never die, you're going to live. Do you believe that? Now, Martha, verse 27. Now, she doesn't answer that one directly, no. She saith unto him, yea, Lord, yes, I believe. There's no question, Martha. Martha says, yes, Lord, I believe. I don't understand what you just said, because I'm not ready to understand it. I just couldn't grasp, you'll never die. I couldn't grasp life in the way you are trying to share it with me. But I believe, verse 27, that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. I believe that. I do. Remember our Lord all the way down the line, he's testing them. And here, remember the Lord said to his disciples, and who do you say that I am? And Peter pounded out, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He did. He did that. Wow. And then the Lord said, listen, you don't know that. My Father told you, helped you say that, because you aren't ready to know that yet. It's a wonderful truth you just said. Now, they knew there was no question that he was the Messiah, the Christ, the prophet Moses had predicted. They believed that. And hold your finger here, over to John chapter 6, you would recall, John chapter 6, picking up, if I may, in verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That we have no problem that you're the Messiah, you're the Christ, the Son of God. It's very hard for us to grasp more than that, because the Jewish thinking, let alone the rest of the world, but Jewish thinking, Messiah, had to be a man, right? But he couldn't be God. God couldn't put on flesh and blood like we have. That can't be. It can't be that God in his holy, wonderful terribleness would become like us. But they forgot they were made in the image and likeness of God. God made them to know him in a very special way. Therefore, they were created by God in a very special way to know him. Now, so here's John chapter 11, and Martha says, oh, I believe, and she did. Bless her heart, she believed. Do you understand, Martha, the rest? No, I don't understand it. I haven't got that far. It's very hard for me to come to grips with you, you'll never die. And remember, it's a double negative in the Greek. Never, 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 never die. Absolutely in no way will you die. Wow. When you have eternal life, you can never have less than eternal life the rest of your life all the way to forever. It can't be less. Wow. That's hard. Ah, it is. Now, but it isn't real. It's hard. It's hard, but it's true. Now, so in the light of that, John chapter 11 and verse 28. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly. Secretly means privately, saying, the master is come, and master, the word teacher, which they used of him, The master, the teacher is come and called for thee. He calleth for thee. So now here's Martha. She went out of town to meet him. Now she's going back into town to the house. She goes into the house. Here's the house and here's the room and here's the people filling the number of rooms it is. And here's Mary sitting there in the room full of people all sitting in a seven-day mourning and all of that, sitting there. And Martha goes into the room and goes all the way over to Mary sitting there and whispers in her ear so no one else hears, no one else. And thus, in verse 28, the master is come and he calls for you. The master wants you. The teacher wants you. She knew exactly what it was. Now, and why whisper? Because all those Jewish people are there, and all those Jewish people are part in some way or fashion of the system. And the system wants to kill him. The system's waiting to kill him. So the word is given to Mary. Mary gets up quickly. And thus, verse 30, now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha had met him. So, Lord, you didn't move. No, Martha went all the way back to the house. And Martha's going to come with Mary all the way back to you standing outside of the town, the village. Now, verse 31, standing outside. And the Jews then, which were with her in the house, comforted her. In other words, they're speaking words to speak freely, to speak words of comfort, encouragement, trying to soothe and encourage and strengthen, support. And in the process, verse 31, and they're comforting her, and Mary all of a sudden gets up. She rose up hastily, very, very quickly, and went out and followed Martha, her sister, saying, and what did they say? They still all talk to each other. They're all thinking and with Mary, and Mary walks out the door. Goes out the door, and they say, verse 31, the end, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. She's going unto the grave to weep. Now, they aren't weeping. They're weeping and sad in the house. But now she's going to exit and go to the grave and weep, to wail, to lament, to cry out, as was the custom. There were professional mourners that did just that. You hired them, and they did the mourning for you for the loss of a loved one. And they said, she's going to the grave to weep, all right? In the process of doing that, therefore, in verse 32, when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now, if here he is, and she's going to come, and remember now, she's going to say, if it's in the second class condition, it means, and it is not true. If you had been here, and you were not here, you were not here. If you had been here and you weren't. And Mary and Martha, said this, verse 21, said the same thing. No doubt they were talking during when he was a very sick, Lazarus, and then he died. They all went back and forth with each other. If the master, if the teacher was here, he wouldn't have died. And now they say both, verse 21, and then verse 32, they say the same thing. Now, and thus he would not have died. So now, at his feet. And now remember Mary, you'll notice in verse 32, she fell down at his feet. And if you took time to read in Luke, remember chapter 10, Martha was busy serving in the house one day, and Mary was not helping her at all in serving dinner, etc. And Martha complained, And the Lord made it clear that where was Mary? She was sitting at his feet, learning. And you can understand that. If you were around that person, you would want to get as close as you could and listen to every single word that came out of his mouth. Wow. But Mary, you aren't doing that now. No. You are overwhelmed. He was not there. Your brother has passed on. It has been buried. We're in the middle of mourning. And Mary, did you succeed? No, you failed. Are you trusting God like you should? No, I'm wailing. I'm not trusting God like I should. I'm failing. What I should be, I know what I should be and be able to do. Martha did it, but I can't do it. So she fell down at his feet. And she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if you had been here. Now, verse 33. If you had just been here, it would have been different. Now, and remember now when we do it, God does, we shared it before in this study, does God need to be there? No. God is always there. We shared it earlier. God is everywhere in the world all at once. And there's no one anywhere in this world that God isn't, they aren't in the presence of God. And in the valley and on the mountain, they can call out to God and he's right there. And God is findable. If you seek me with all your heart, you'll what? Find me. So God, it isn't, you don't, Mary, you don't have, I didn't have to be here standing in front of you in a physical body, perfect physical body. I didn't have to do that. All you had to do is look to me, to God, and pray. But you didn't do that. You were looking for my presence. You didn't do that. And to boot at it, God, not only do you not need to be there physically in your work, home, school, play, but God, you use the testings in our life, you use them to teach us, to get us to where we need to be. You save us in and by and through the testings. God, you are to be counted as faithful in the trying of the trials of our test. 1 Corinthians 10, etc. You ought to be looking to, we ought to be looking to you. James, count it all joy when you fall into various kinds of testing. You're going to be in them. I'm going to help you in the middle of them. I could get you out of them, but it is not my will to get you out of all of them. My will is that you would learn in and through and by the testings. 1 Peter 1, 7, remember, the trial of your faith is much more precious than gold or silver. So God, it's more important that we go through the trial and test to learn, to get educated. Matthew 11, 29, get your learning from me, which we started with. Get your learning from me. I told you. What are you going to do? Learn. So, but God, you didn't need to. No, I didn't need to be there at all. So now, having said that, picking up, if I can, in verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, remember wailing, lamenting in anguish, as it were, because that was the thing to do, and wailing, and the Jews which followed her, they're also, same verb, wailing, weeping, lamenting, which came with her. So here they all are, wailing away. Now, in the process, as they're crying out, lamenting, weeping away. Now, verse 33, also weeping, which came with her, the Jews. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Now, so here he is looking in the process, groaning. And the word to groan is the word groan, the verb, in, little word in, on account of, plus the verb to roar, R-O-A-R-O-A-R, to roar. To roar, to growl like a lion, like a horse, grumble, snort, wow. To what? To grumble. In on account of his grumbling. He grumbled in the spirit, in himself, in his own perfect humanity, he groaned and grumbled in himself. He roared. To groan deeply would be the verb. From anguish. To storm with anger, displeasure, indignation, a roaring away. God, what's happening? Wow, it is there, steamed up, as it were, in his perfect humanity. Over, if you would, hold your finger here, and over, if you would, please, to Psalm 38. Psalm 38. And we'll look at this word in the Hebrew, Greek Hebrew language, where it's used. Psalm 38. If I can, David. Remember the context is important. Every place the word is used, it's never used nice. It's anger, storming. It's not a word of comfort. Wow. So David, Psalm 38, Absalom is rebelling, your son is rebelling against you. Now, how are you reacting to that rebellion? Chapter 38, verse 8. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. David, you are definitely disturbed about what's happening and why it's happening. And hang on to that. That's the mood of trouble. Over to Lamentations. Again, later, Jeremiah's day, Lamentations chapter 2. And in Lamentations chapter 2, may I pick up, please, what's chapter 2 about? It's about Jerusalem. I'll look over to Lamentations chapter 1, verse 1. Lamentations 1:1. The city is personified as being alive. How doth the city sit solitary? Nebuchadnezzar is leveling the city, the temple. It's all bad. Nothing's good. Everything's in ruin. That's the context. Chapter 2, verse 1. How hath the Lord covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud in his anger? And cast down from heaven unto the earth, the beauty of Israel is destroyed, and remembered not his footstool in the day of his anger. God, the judgment upon Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar was well warranted from our study in Jeremiah on Wednesdays. Well warranted. Now, chapter 2, sliding down our word. Chapter 2 and verse 6. He hath violently taken away his tabernacle, as it were, of a garden, like just removing it. He hath destroyed the places of the assembly. The Lord hath caused the solemn feast and Sabbaths to be forgotten in Zion. He hath despised in the indignation. There's your word. Of his anger, the king and the priest. It didn't matter, any of you. God was so moved. And that's how David, you understand, God, when God gets your heart like that, the awesomeness of evil, of death, of darkness, it robs, it ruins. Now hang on, back over if you would, to the Gospel of John. The Lord was deeply moved in himself. And what the weeping, they're wailing away. Now remember, he has just got through. I am that I am, or that I am that I am. I keep telling you, you ought to look to me so you're encouraged. And all of a sudden, he just got through with Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Why didn't you say that to Mary? She wasn't in the place. She was so broken, so falling apart, there was nothing to say to her. What am I going to say? She isn't able to listen. Think how many times God would say something to us if we were in the place to listen. But we aren't. We read the verse, it goes right past us. And the truth, the warmth, the power, the reality, it goes right by us. And we miss it. Wow. Wow. So here, John chapter 11, if you note, he is going to go, and in the process, in roaring, the sternness and that, and picking up if I can, and this word, groan, involves he roared in his spirit. The sternness, it's used of maybe telling the people he healed in stern, do not speak of this, because you're not in the place yet to speak of it. He healed them and said, make sure you're quiet. Very sternly, straightway. Now, having said that, strictly, he strictly charged them. Now, are we talking about where they're wailing at the loss of Lazarus? Uh-huh. That's because the normal thing to do. And but I just told you I'm the resurrection and the life. But Mary, you don't get that. Martha doesn't quite understand it at all yet. And the Jews are out to kill me. Therefore, you're all mourning and growing. The professional mourners are there. And the, as it were, and it's so, and the word to groan in anger, I'm groaning in anger and displeasure. Humans, on the other hand, remember, humans are affected by sorrow, joy, gladness, grief. We all respond to things in all of those words and much more. We respond to them. We're human. The Greeks, on the other hand, would not attribute to God. God, to the Greeks, is unemotional. Nothing would disturb God. No one would disturb God. No one. Nothing. He's God. That's what they understood. Humans, yes, but God could never get upset with a human. That's what they thought. Now, keeping that in mind, so therefore, he is unemotional, and therefore, he's disconnected, he's compassionless. Now, in verse 33, God was moved deeply, angered, anguished of heart, and, verse 33, he was troubled. And the little verb, trouble, little verb, big verb, troubled. And there's a little word in the Greek that you won't see there. In verse, he was troubled, and then the little word, the Greek pronoun, himself. He was troubled himself. It was a personal thing. He was personally groaning in his spirit, and he was troubled in himself. It's a personal thing. He's responding. Is Mary understanding it? Are the Jews understanding it? Is Martha understanding it? No. He's responding in his own holy, happy, heavenly being, in his perfect humanity. He's responding to what they're doing. After all of this, now in the light of that, so here's a little word a little word to trouble, to disturb, to put into the mind, cause commotion, trouble, disturbance of the mind, alarm, make the mind alarmed and concerned. And he was troubled in mind. Wow. In the light of that. Remember now the word troubles all over. The waters in the pool of Siloam were troubled. When they troubled, that was important. When they troubled, there's a little word. Agitated, not calm, agitated. Waters bubbling up. Waves moving, rapid. Wow. Now, what else can we get that would help us? Over, if you would, hold your finger right here. Over, if you would, John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And picking up, if I may, go with me over to verse, you'll pick the context up. Chapter 12 and in verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now, having said that, now sliding down verse 26, God has to be sacrificed. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So God, like a grain of wheat, you have to understand, you got to follow me all the way to the cross. Now, verse 27. Now is my soul, said the Lord, troubled. There's your little word, troubled, disturbed, agitated, put into motion. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. I'm looking at what's disturbing you, Lord. I'm going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane and the cross. And it is a trouble to me. It is a disturbance to me. I'm looking and it's causing alarm, commotion. I'm moved. It isn't a good thing. It's a necessary thing. Over, if you would, please, to chapter 13. Chapter 13. If I can, verse 21. Again, God is going to use the word, and the context is important. Chapter 13, verse 21. Verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, verse 20, he that receiveth whomsoever I sent receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. And when Jesus had said this, verse 21, he was troubled, there's your word, troubled, commotion, alarm, in his spirit, and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. What is the problem this time? What is causing you upsetness? One of you is going to go out the door and send in the whole Jewish military, the Roman military, and you're all going to come in and all going to come in and take me to trial to the crucifixion. Judas, all 3.5+ years, and you're going to betray me. After all of that, in your humanity, you never chose to understand. Martha's going to. She hangs in there. Mary hangs in there. Peter hangs in there. But Judas, you don't hang in there. You're there going to church every week, but never absorbing it. Never changing. Never moved to develop. Wow. Now, so in the light of that, in his anger. Now why? Why are you doing that? And, chapter 11 again. Now what were you angry at? Well, are you angry at death and its penalty? No, I am the resurrection and life. I came to solve that. Are you understanding the power of death? Is that power is so strong? No, the power of death is not strong at all. There's nothing stronger than me anywhere. I am God Almighty. There is nothing. So it isn't power of death, no. What about unbelief? Unbelief. Unbelief is everywhere. Unbelief. People don't believe. They need to believe. And that's what they need to do. I told them they need to believe. They need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to get saved. They don't believe, they don't get saved. Is that a problem? No, I already told them that. They're condemned. Romans, John 3, 18, 19, 18. They're condemned what? Already. They're already condemned because they don't believe. So there's no sense in doing that. So that is a problem. No, that's not the problem. And the people fail to understand? No, what's new? They always don't understand. They need to understand, but they don't understand. Now, so, God, what are we looking at? Over, if you would, please. I'm looking at those Jews. Now, remember now, when you go, remember in John 11, the Jews are there. Over in chapter 11, verse 19, then the Jews were there to comfort because they lived in the Jews. It was Bethany was where the priests lived that worked the temple that knew about all of this. And so the Jews, verse 31, and the Jews were in a house, and the Jews, verse 33, followed her. It's the Jews. What are the Jews going to do? The Jews are going to go after them. And that's what, verse 46, and some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. In other words, is anything going to change? No, it's getting worse. And they're wailing, they're weeping. They aren't weeping like me. We're going to share that, but not now. He sheds a tear. That's different. I'm looking, and it angers. What is the anguish about? Now, all of those things are normal. But here is the Jewish Judaism Jews going in what? They're bent on killing me, crucifying me. No matter what I say, no matter what I do, no matter how many miracles, no matter how I feed them, no matter how I cut the cookie, they are out to kill me. And here's Martha and Mary. Mary, what are you doing? You're picking up the flavor of the unsaved crowd. You're picking up the flavor of the political leadership. You're picking up the flavor of it, and therefore you're acting like they want you to. And you're wailing. You don't need to wail, but you are. Because you're picking up, you're copying. Everyone's influencing you. That's our society today. We're caught up. You'd like to think somehow this might come out a little bit good for a little bit of time, more time. But maybe not. Maybe not, because the crowds, people, they just aren't. Do you see the problems? They got all kinds and everything everywhere to keep from it. So here's the Jews. Matthew chapter 23. The whole atmosphere is hostile. Hostile. Darkness. The prince of the power of the air. Darkness. Darkness. And what's it do? It keeps us from clarity. Darkness is going to end up ruining us, causing a curse to us, condemning us in darkness. Wow. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Now here's this hostile atmosphere that causes great distress of mind, anger of the heart. Of what's happening. Are you going to fix it, Judas? I am. I'm going to fix this. Wow. God, I looked to think of Isaiah 66. I looked for a man to step forward to save. There was none. So I rolled up my sleeves, said the Lord, and came down and died. on Calvary's cross to save you. Matthew chapter 23, Lord, would you give us a quick movement to pick up the flavor of this hostility? Chapter 23, saying, verse 23 and in verse 2, the scribes and the Pharisees sat at Moses' seat, etc. Now, that's all about them, all about them. Now, chapter 23, I'm just follow it if you can. Verse 23, chapter 23, verse 13. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Verse 14. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Verse 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Verse 16. Woe unto you, ye blind guides! Blind leading the blind. Ye fools, verse 17, ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple of the that sanctifieth the gold, and without getting into all that, that just that looking to talk, to answer God's need, the need of their heart in the wrong way. Verse 19, ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar, the sanctification of the gift. Over if you would. Verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Verse 25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Verse 26. The blind Pharisee cleanseth first that which is within the cup, etc., etc. Verse 27. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Verse 29. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Over and over again. And here they are. Here they are after all of this. Here's poor Mary, all upset, picking up the flavor of the hypocrites, of the Jews, picking up the thought, you don't need to believe, etc., etc., etc. Wow. Wow. Over, if you would, please. Back over to John chapter 11. There's a great thunderstorm in the Lord's heart. The divine thunderstorm of His own Spirit. We had a great one the other day, a thunderstorm. God, you. Is it really you? Are you that angry? You betcha. You bet I am. Man. And boy, you're storming. Hostile. Ruining, darkening, damning. Wow. Mary and Martha need to know. They know, but they don't know. They don't show it because they're caught up. And the Jewish people are caught up in the darkness, in religion. Darkness and religion. We have our philosophy, we have our thinking, we know how we feel, we have all of these things. This is what we do, and this is how we think, this is how we handle death, this is how we handle life. And God said, that's horrible. Horrible. And so in the midst of all of that, darkness seeking to handle the realities of life. And in the dark, my dear friend, we end up wrong. We end up missing out. Now, God, here we are. Here's all the trouble in front of us. And God, what have you done? You've done something wonderful. You sent your son into trouble. You sent your son to resolve trouble and anguish and unbelief and death. And the enemy is aggressively seeking to make that not happen. To rob a human being of the comfort, the encouragement. God, you've got to help us. John chapter 14. He's going to do just that. That's why he's angry, because he's going to solve it, and the people aren't going to quit. They're going to keep going after him and after him and after him. No, not going to quit. John chapter 14, may I pick up please in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. There's your little word, trouble. I'm troubled, but don't you be troubled. Don't you be troubled. What do you want me to do? I don't want to be troubled. Martha, believe. Mary, believe. The trouble is you need to believe. I'm the resurrection and the life. Don't you understand? All the issues that make you mourn and groan and disturb and distress are unnecessary. I've given you a wonderful, wonderful relationship that allows you to enjoy who I am. Chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. There's the word again. Neither let it be afraid. Don't let your heart be disturbed, brought into commotion. Be at peace in a troubling world. Trouble everywhere. You're right. But boy, God said, don't you lose it because you listen to the world and people around you and you lose the wonderful benefit that I would bring to your heart and you don't believe and you don't allow it to happen and therefore you're cooked in bondage to the stupidity and stubbornness of a world system that won't have any light. It loves darkness. It won't have any life. It loves death. And he's angered. Now think how long you and I have been around. A little bit. Wow. And God, we get troubled. We do. Over to John 16 in closing. And you know, we hear and hear, how much, or say it a different way, how much of the world system, the world as you understand it, is governing and dictating to your life how to live and think and feel. Your friends, your neighbors, the news media, everybody is telling you how to think and feel and understand. And you've disconnected from God who changes the whole ball game. And you're caught up in self and marriage and everything coming and going and people. And you lose it because you're caught up in the system. And it's angered. God is angered when that is allowed to happen, and he hates the system that does it to us. Chapter 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you shall in me have peace, might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, encouragement. I have overcome the world. Mary, Martha, you understand? You don't understand why I'm all upset, angered. Groaning with fierce anger. Actually, you know, without taking time, if you and I were to move into thinking about the tribulation, how angry is God in the tribulation? God opens the heaven, Revelation 6, and his wrath, and men hide people. Everyone tries to hide from the wrath of God. Are you angry, God? I am angry. Wow. At the moment, he's at peace. And he tells us, be ye saved. Don't get caught up in the system. And understand, you right now, peacefully, as without going to jail or you losing your head, you're able to believe. Believe. Our Father in God, we thank you for a little bit. God, help us understand. God, deal with our heads, our hearts, our homes, our health, our mind, our thought process, our indifference, our ignorance, our laziness. God, deal with us. Not because what we deserve, but do it in your mercy and grace, all that we should have. If we would but believe, So God, deal with the head and heart of all of us. Deal with the head and heart of all of Thy dear people across the face of the earth. And our God, we're going to thank You very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank You for that. We may want to sing, if you would, with me. 428 stanzas 1 and 2. 428 stanzas 1 and 2.